Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text is the first lesson appointed for today. We read in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 15. You understand, O Lord. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me of my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord, God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending, and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless, words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and King, dearly loved by God, we often speak about our fellowship. Another way to speak about fellowship, to give it a meaning, is it's all the positive elements of our faith and our confession that we have in common. For example, a belief in the true God, the triune God, is something that we have in common. God's love for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior, given to us freely and regularly, is something that we have in common. We share the desire to love God back as He has loved us in Christ, don't we? We share the desire to do God's will and follow His word all out of thankful hearts for our redemption. Another thing that we have in common is our daily struggles against our sinful flesh. That's something we share. And whatever our calling, whether it's like me in the public ministry, or you, the royal priesthood of all believers, we also have in common, no matter what our calling, man, woman, husband, father, wife, mother, sister, brother, we have in common the crosses of rejection and persecution of our faith and of our confession of God and Jesus Christ. What is the answer? What is the answer to the common struggles that we fight every day against our sinful flesh and the crosses we have to bear because of persecution? The answer lies in repentance. The answer lies in confessing our many, many sins and turning to Jesus Christ and His cross and empty tomb for forgiveness. God demands our repentance, God calls us to repentance, and God gives us that repentance through His grace. And these struggles are overcome by us daily in repentance. Those crosses The burden of them are lifted from us even if the crosses remain by God's grace. God's grace and the common struggles that we share are not, however, new to us. Jeremiah, the prophet of God, also was experiencing them, and we have those in common with him. And so this morning, join me in applying the lesson of Jeremiah's common struggle in his calling to our hearts. You see, first of all, that Jeremiah was faithful to God's word, and yet he was persecuted. And we see that he was repentant of his doubts and was renewed. Jeremiah's daily calling was in the public ministry. God had called Jeremiah before he was born to be a believer and to be a prophet. Jeremiah's call in life was to preach the law and the gospel to God's apostate Israel, to call them back from the sin of their idolatry, and through the power of the word to turn them back to faith in the one true God. What did Jeremiah get for all of his troubles? Not appreciation, not thankfulness, but rejection and persecution. The people didn't want to listen to him, and they mocked him, and they physically harmed him as well. Jeremiah faithfully preached God's word and was persecuted. And he was getting tired of that. That's one reason why he's called, and his attitude that we see here is reflected in his nickname, maybe you've heard it, the weeping prophet. Jeremiah told the Lord, "Your word came to me easily. Your word was my joy and my delight. I ate it up." In our one prayer, we say we want to hear God's word, the Holy Scriptures, and inwardly digest them. We even use that expression. Man, he ate it up. He was so glad to have something. Jeremiah says, "I ate up your word." What a joy it was. And I love preaching it to my people, to your people. I want nothing more than for them to confess their sins and repent and turn back to you. Jeremiah had been long-suffering and patient in his calling, but now that cross, that persecution, that struggle against his sinful flesh was beginning to weigh heavily upon him. We, as Orthodox Christians, also have that common struggle. We preach, share God's word, and are persecuted. We want nothing more than for sinners to repent and believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. And so often we get, whether in the public ministry or when you witness to the hope that is in you as a royal priest, whether at work or at home or in school, rather than being grateful, rather than appreciating our love for them so they're not lost, we're persecuted. We're rejected, but not yet physically harmed. You and I have that wonderful, joyful message that we, by God's power, have eaten up. It's our joy and our delight that Jesus Christ was righteous for us under the law and then offered up himself as the one-time sacrifice for sin on the cross as payment for our sins. You know, at times, that persecution comes, honestly, because people really, they don't understand where we're coming from. They don't honestly understand why we do the things that we do. And that gives us a good opportunity to sit down with them and in love explain them. But sometimes that persecution comes because they understand perfectly well. They understand exactly what we're saying and what we're preaching, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. And they think that they should persecute anyone who holds those views as well. This is especially true when it comes to the preaching of sin, when it comes to the preaching of damnation and hell. Going to hell because you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior is not a popular thing to preach or to teach. But it is the truth. It is God's Word. There is no salvation apart from faith in Jesus Christ. But now, honestly, none of us really wants to hear that, do we? None of us wants to hear that we are dead in our sins, that we are by nature enemies of God, and that we were doomed to hell without anything that we could do to save ourselves. But then comes that wonderful, gracious promise that all of our sins are forgiven in Christ. But in the meantime, that message can begin to weigh heavily upon us in our own struggle against our sinful flesh. Well, that really can't be true. That really is an exaggeration. Or, you know, I'm really starting to love this sin, and I just really don't want to give it up. Or, people aren't coming back to church that visit because they don't want to hear about sin, and they don't want to hear about hell, and they don't want to hear about being saved by what somebody else did rather than trying to save themselves. And so we can get frustrated. We can become impatient. We can begin to blaspheme God like Jeremiah did. Think of what Jeremiah is saying to God. He says, "You filled me with indignation. I'm upset, and it's your fault, God. Why is my pain unending?" And the Hebrew word means extreme pain, constant pain. "My wound is grievous and incurable." He was so upset because of the rejection that he was receiving that his own sinful flesh was beginning to gain the upper hand in his struggle. And then he blamed God of being a deceptive brook. In other words, there's a brook or a stream that promises to have water there when you need it. And then you take your clay pot down to the banks to dip it in, and there's no water there. Or he says, "God, you're like a spring that fails, like a well that dries up. I come to you looking for something, and you're not giving me anything. And I'm frustrated, and I'm indignant, and I'm impatient, and it's all your fault." And so I begin to doubt God's Word. You know, there must be something other than Word and Sacrament that we could use to grow. We get frustrated with lack of numerical growth, even as at the same time we're not interested in growing ourselves in our spiritual knowledge and in our faith. We begin to accuse God of all kinds of injustices and unfairnesses and wonder if it's even worth it talking to someone else about their Savior. Isn't it terrible, the wicked things that fill our hearts from our sinful flesh in our daily struggle against it? Isn't it terrible the things that come out of our mouths when we get frustrated with ourselves and preaching God's Word and nobody seeming to listen to it? Jeremiah was faithful to God's Word, and he was persecuted. And we share with him in that common struggle. And Jesus warns us about not letting that cross get the best of us in our gospel. Jesus says, you're going to follow me. If you're not going to lose your life, then you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That's a big order. In fact, it's an impossible order for us by ourselves. What is the answer? What is the answer to win the common struggle against my flesh? What is the answer to not becoming burdened by the persecutions of preaching the word, but of being strengthened? The answer lies in daily repentance. The answer lies in daily acknowledging our sins to God and turning in faith to that love that He has for us in Christ, that the gospel in word and sacrament assures us is there. Honestly, the Hebrew is a little weak here, and the translation is a little bit disconcerted about really what God is saying to Jeremiah. He says to Jeremiah, if you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. In Hebrew, the second word that's translated, I will restore you, really means I will turn you. In other words, God calls us to repent, but then, which means to turn from sin and back to Him. But He is the only one that can do that. He is the one who does the turning, who turns us through the gospel. Through His grace, through that word of forgiveness, God turns us away from our sins and back to Him in faith. Repentance is necessary to continue to serve God. God works that repentance in us through the gospel so that we may continue to serve Him. Jeremiah writes of this also in his Lamentations, which means weeping or crying. In chapter 5, verse 21, Jeremiah says, turn us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be turned. So the Lord does that turning. And the Lord, He says, if you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Really, the Lord's saying, if you get rid of the vile things in your life and cling to the valuable things, then you will be able to be my servant. And that's really what repentance is, isn't it? It's cleaning our house of faith of the filth of our sins, of getting the vile things out of our hearts and filling them with the things that are good and pure and right and in keeping with God's will. That's why before the Passover, the Jews had to get rid of all the yeast from their house. That's really what that symbolized, that they were cleaning all the yeast out of their houses for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which signified to them the repentance of their hearts, of cleaning their hearts, of getting rid from their hearts all their love for sin, all their clinging to sin, all their being burdened by sin. And that would enable Jeremiah, and it enables us, to continue to serve the Lord as His people. There was comfort and strength to Jeremiah because of the Lord's forgiveness. And Jeremiah was able to go on faithfully preaching to his people. But finally God said, let them come to you. You don't go to them. You have preached to them, and they have not listened. So you wait, and you let those who are repentant come to you. And this stopped Jeremiah's weeping over our sins. You and I share and have in common that struggle in our callings, whether as a pastor and the frustrations that I experience with my own flesh and with sharing the gospel with others, or those same common struggles that you share with yourselves and with others in sharing the gospel. But that forgiveness of Christ in our repentance is what enables us to carry on to continue to serve, to continue to win that battle over our sinful flesh, so that we will be found as believers when Christ returns. The Lord called Jeremiah before he was born to be a believer and to be a prophet. God called us in Christ before we were even born to be believers and to the particular calling to which He has given us. And so even when we sin, just like the saints of old, God's promise of forgiveness calls us to repentance so that we can continue in our calling as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Amen.